This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, so what could be this year's wide receiver? Nick Caserio, by the way, he's live tomorrow at 11 a.m. So we'll hear Nick Caserio address the media types before the draft at 11 a.m. Nick Caserio tomorrow. Wide receiver, this time last year, there was some concern. We didn't know that Nico could perform like a number one guy. We didn't know who the hell was going to be throwing to him. Tank Dell was not on the roster. Noah Brown, I mean, the Cowboys got rid of him. Robert Woods, yeah, he's a system fit, but what is Robert Woods going to do? John Metchie was coming off a, quote, redshirt season, and wide receiver was a big concern. If you would have told me this time last year, and I'll just be honest with you, I can admit when I'm wrong. Hell, I was a Bryce or Bus guy. But if you would have told me that last year at this time that I would be sitting here with Brandon Scott, Figgy Fig, 8 days away from the draft on Wednesday, April 17th, and I would be feeling the way that I feel about the wide receiver position, I would have told you, you are one of the biggest idiots that I have ever known, and I don't even want to talk to you at this point. I would have completely dismissed that.
It was a weakness of the team.
What
we thought
could be this year's wide receiver? What would be most likely, something that we perhaps don't feel amazing about, that this time next year we're looking at the way in which we look at wide receiver?
I've got two in mind, so I'm just going to pick one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the offensive line because I think this is a more interesting conversation, and it has a lot to do with, to me, more so the perception of the offensive line as opposed to the actual talent level. Like, when you think about it, The difference here in these two parallels that we're making is that they've invested a lot in this offensive line. It didn't feel like they had invested a ton in that wide receiver group because you had a bunch of guys on rookie deals, not even first round picks, and then your highest paid guy was Robert Woods. It's obviously a lot different now that you've made the trade for Stephon Diggs. But with the offensive line, they've spent heavily on it. And we talked yesterday a lot about return on investment. Laremy Tunsil, highest paid tackle, you know, obviously Titus Howard, one of the top highest paid right tackles, and then the deal that they did for Shaq Mason, trading for him and then automatically guaranteeing him a certain amount of money. And then your guys on the inside, aside from that, Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green are
so
both
saying O-line
high draft picks. So
you've lost your damn mind.
So the O-line to me is the
you
one
have lost your
where,
damn mind.
Well, and the reason why you think that is because you don't feel great about the offensive line. And I think that there are some valid reasons for that, but there are also, to me, some reasons for optimism if there's health and if things sort of fall into place the way that they're supposed to. Right to have questions, right to have some skepticism, but there is potential there. I can see the potential there with the offensive line now better than I could a year ago with the wide receiver group. So, given that, like, outside of some, you know, catastrophic situation where guys are dropping like flies the way they did last year, if everybody's out there, if everybody's healthy, I don't see why the offensive line can't be similar to what the wide receiver group was last year in terms of being a surprise to people that are skeptical of it.
Does that include an addition, like, as is, or are you factoring in that perhaps maybe on day two, day three of the draft, they find a Tank Dell type of guy? Like, as is, If you're just looking at the offensive line and you're talking as is, do you think that's still a possibility, or do you still think they need an addition?
So that's why I thought my other one was also a comparison, because I thought that one includes an addition. The offensive line, I don't. Like, to me, like, I got a hard time imagining that they're going to go draft a guy now that is either going to displace the highly paid guys, or that they're going to necessarily feel better about with, say, Juice Scruggs, or, you know, the one spot would be left guard. Like, have they already given up on Kenyon Green, or is this the year where he actually gets an opportunity to at least prove himself? And then Kendrick Green, I imagine, is still going to be around as well. So they're going to have other options. Again, if healthy, I think this is pretty much what the offense, the high end of it, right? This is pretty much what,
so
it's
going O-line.
What it's going to look
right,
like.
What's your other one?
I'm going to go O-line.
What's your other
one? The other one was the interior defensive line. Defensive tackle, specifically the defensive tackle position.
Okay.
Like, to me, that's the one where
a lot of bodies, a lot of guys.
But to your question of, does that include adding a guy? Well, that's the spot where I feel like you're maybe more likely to actually draft somebody, and then you include some of the bodies that they've added and the possibilities with those, between Danico Autry's positional flexibility, and hell, Khalil Davis is a dude that was practice squad last year and ended up having some pretty good moments for you. Like, there could be some diamonds in the rough plus additions in the draft that make that an intriguing position. Because right now, I don't feel great about the defensive tackle position, but it could very well turn out that that's a strength of the team. I don't see why not.
I could see it. I don't know if it's going to be a strength, but I could see
it. Not the strength, but a strength.
I could see it being something where you overcome it with other stuff, whether it's guys on the edge, whether it's creativity, whether it's stuff behind them. I could see them overcoming that.
I mean, but really, you've invested so much on the outside now, yeah, at edge. All you really are looking for, though, you want those guys to make plays. But if they're creating plays for the guys on the edge, that's just as good as anything. And that's not going to always be, like, obvious to the naked eye. That's going to be, like, the all 22, like, the real all 22 guys are going to probably be the ones that are going to point that type of stuff out. But if it's happening, even that is a good thing.
For me, and I don't think it's as is going to be the case, but for me, safety is where I'm going to lean. And they've had safeties in. I could see them drafting a safety on that day too. And it might mean a short-term demotion-ish for Jalen Petrie, but I could see Jalen Petrie kind of finding his own and then finding places to use Jalen Petrie to where maybe in year four or whatever, he develops into more of an asset and more of a quality starter. But for me, I find it very hard to believe that Nick Caserio and his claim, and if you're just tuning in, 11 a.m. tomorrow, we'll hear from Nick Caserio. He's going to talk to the media types. But I just find it hard to believe that they look at this safety group and say, that'll do. I mean, that seems crazy to me. Like, that'll do. Yeah, Jalen Petrie, you know, we benched him last year. Kind of a disappointing year. That'll do. Jimmy Ward.
How much does it matter?
That'll do.
I'm talking this out. How much do you think it matters that they're captain type, locker room leader
of
guys?
I know
we don't care,
it
but
shouldn't
I'm saying,
matter.
Do you think that carries some level of credibility with the decision makers, with the evaluators?
Because I don't think they're a team that lacks those types of personalities. I think they have elite players like CJ, like Will Anderson. Stephon Diggs has been a captain. I think they have elite players that can be captain type of guys.
Well, I just
so
mean
it's
in terms,
like,
of trusting a guy to turn, you know, to either figure out whatever the
situation
is.
You're not giving up on Jalen Petrie by
adding
a safety.
Yeah.
That's my thing. You're not giving up on him.
You're not giving up on Jalen Petrie, and we understand the connection with Jimmy Ward and what the tie is there.
Well, so, I mean, he's valuable when he's out there. It's just a big if.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, those guys, the point I'm getting at is it feels like those guys are going to be given some leeway, given some rope to rectify. Or to redeem.
I wonder if Jimmy Ward's a little bit more open to playing nickel this year than perhaps he was last year.
I've been asking that for, I guess I stopped asking.
Because last year,
but I was asking earlier in the offseason.
Last year it was a no way, no how. You got to be a little more open to it now, right?
Once they signed C.J. Henderson, I guess I stopped thinking about that because I feel like he might be able to do a little bit of that. They brought Desmond King back and signed C.J. Henderson. So it's not like it's as desperate of a need as it was in the beginning of the offseason, but I still wonder about it.
Yeah, I wonder about the safety.
I don't know how great I feel about it as he ages and has injury history. Like, it's not, now we're 2 years removed from he was doing it for San Francisco. Yeah, that was 2 years ago. And by the way, he was injured last year and he's 2 years older. So I don't know.
I just hope that I want some proactive drafting. And I've convinced myself, I've kind of gassed myself up to where I think, and I think you have to base what you think they should take based on the state of the roster, the opportunity relative to where you're picking.
Yep.
And the other position groups and what those will look like when you pick. And in doing that, I have convinced myself that I need a tight end, man. I need a tight end, and I need a quality tight end, not a kick the tires Teagan Quinteriano, because...
But to be clear, you want to do this because you think that there will actually be a name in mind or somebody there. You're not doing the thing where you just write it on the card and say, give me a tight end.
No,
the opportunity's there.
If it's a guy like Jatavion Sanders, who is going to be a better football player, I think, than Dalton Schultz in 2 years, who can line up in the... He can do what Andrew Beck does. I mean, Andrew Beck might be a slightly better blocker, but as far as lining up at fullback and... catching the ball out of the backfield and catching the rock, like he can do. They like to use Andrew Beck a certain amount of times. If you have a threat like Jatavion Sanders out there in motion, like they got to acknowledge that. There's no. He has better. He has Dalton Schultz like receiving skills with more athleticism. If you like Cade Stover out of Ohio State, you like more the traditional tight end. Okay. If you like Theo Johnson out of Penn State, a little bit later on in the draft. Okay, we can get down with that, but. With how much they like to use tight ends, they're using Andrew Beck at H-back. They're not able to block as well as they'd like. And it's going to be even a bigger need next year because Brevin Jordan's in year four and Dalton Schultz, it's pretty much a one-year deal. I think 10.5 of that was guaranteed. I think that tight end, based on what you can get, based on the quality of player, based on all the things that you ask these guys to do, I think tight end is something that they should really, 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 really be considering when it comes to making one of those picks. Maybe even in the second round, but definitely in the third. I don't think you can ignore this, and I think it can add a whole nother element to your offense.
You say you think these dudes can do what Andrew Beck does? Did you say that?
Yeah.
You think they can take an 85, 90 yards to the house?
Oh, come on, dude.
You think that? You sleeping on Beck?
You're talking about the fluke kickoff return?
What's the matter with you, man?
Come on, man.
They didn't change the rules? You think these cats got 85, 90 yards in them for a kickoff return?
That was one of the most flukish plays in the history of the league, and I like Beck.
Put some respect on it.
I'm
with you on the tight end thing. Like I'm
100% in on it.
I think that the need is there. Like past Dalton Schultz is, I think,
he's a good player.
Obviously above average for what you ask him to do.
But the other thing about it is, let's just be real about this, and let's everybody just sit crisscross applesauce, and let's all admit something, okay? Let's all just admit this, okay? Part of the reason why they brought back Dalton Schultz is because the tight end free agent market sucked this year.
He benefited from this market as much as he suffered from it last year.
Last year, it was deep, and that's why they got him on the bargain that they got him on. But let's just be completely honest with ourselves. I know we're excited. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. I like Dalton, too. I think Dalton is a valuable piece of this team, and I look forward to the middle of the field being more open for him with these receivers. But let's just sit down and acknowledge this tight end market sucked. It was bad. And that's part of the reason why bringing back Dalton Schultz made as much sense as it did. They need a tight end.
Yeah.
And the only, I'll tell you this, there's going to be many times where I'm wrong about the draft. The last time I was this convinced that a Big 12 tight end was going to be a factor and a problem in the league. And a lot of people are looking at his tape and saying, well, he didn't block good last year. Dude, he was hurt. He was hurt. Oh, well, he didn't produce as much. Dude, two of his wide receivers might go in the first round. The number one running back's on his squad, and he has another wide receiver who's going to get drafted later. Of course he didn't produce as much. The guy put on weight last year. and he was a more than willing blocker, and he was hurt. The last time I was this convinced about a Big 12 tight end coming into the league, and I had to hear these types of things. John Harris, I'm going to have him on the stream tonight at 10:30. He and I were very, very divided on this. More times than not, he's going to be right. But it was Mark Andrews. Man, he's more of a receiver. He does it. He's not a blocker. How'd that work out? That is what I think. If you get Jatavion Sanders, you might not have a good blocking tight end, but you have one of the most intriguing, outside of Buffalo, with Knox and Kincaid, you have not only perhaps the best 1-2-3 punch at receiver when it comes to catching the rock, but you have perhaps the best 1-2 punch at tight end when it comes to catching the rock. And then you can factor in Quintiriano and Brevin Jordan and what the hell they do. But with Schultz and Sanders, and when you do decide to move on from Schultz, I think it's a smooth transition for Sanders. Don't even know if he's going to be there, but I think based on opportunity, based on other elements of the offense, and they also, again, he's going in motion and doing H-back things. So if you're tired of Andrew Beck and you're tired of seeing Andrew Beck on offense, got good news for you. Here's the man right here. Line him up. Second round pick. You can get in the trenches, be hardo, do whatever you got to do. I'm starting to buy the Sanders hype.
So you don't have to sell me on weapons, because I'll take weapons in any form or fashion they come in. Whatever position they are, I'll find a spot, or would like to hope that the offensive coordinator in the house is able to find a spot and a way to use a weapon. So I'll take that, even if you tell me the tight end is above average as a pass catcher and he leaves a little bit to be desired as a blocker, I can still consider that. I still feel like they need a more well-rounded, or somebody that can do both at a higher level. Like, how does it make you feel? Texans fans, let me know. If y'all hear this, let me know. How do you feel if I just tell you right now that your most well-rounded tight end, not your best, but your most well-rounded tight end is Tekan Quatoriano? Like, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel nervous. I like the kid. He's just not.
But that's not.
He just can't stay healthy.
That's not good enough. You know?
Well, they can figure something out. But if you add another element, and I keep hearing about wide receiver, dude. Jatavion Sanders is like another wide receiver. I don't know how much better I can explain this. Like, all this talk, it's like, would you rather have a tight end or would you rather have a wide receiver? I'd like to have both.
Well,
that would be cool for me. I would like to have both. And I would like to have a guy who can line up at H-back.
Well,
I'd like to have a guy that's at least willing to block. He might not be a great blocker right now. See? Keep in mind he was hurt. But then we can figure out what to do with this other, like, H-back and tight end type of situation. Or he can develop into a better blocker than we think. This is the same stuff they were saying about Mark Andrews. It's the same stuff they were saying. Man, he can't block.
I like Jordan Akins
better.
I'll localize it even more than that. I'll localize it even more than that and say this. The logic in drafting Sanders, to me, is the same as the reason why Brevin Jordan still has a job. And why we're not even sitting here talking, like, we don't know for sure he's on the squad, but we think he's got a pretty good shot because he is a weapon.
Sanders is better than Brevin
Jordan.
He's
better,
right now.
But I'm saying, exactly.
You don't, and you don't, all this stuff that you do with Brevin Jordan, you get him in the flat, and you can still try to figure that out. Sanders is better than Brevin Jordan. He's like another wide receiver you can put in the slot. He's a tight end who's got Mark Andrews-like qualities, and I think he can end up being like Dalton Schultz. And, oh, by the way, this Beck thing where you're putting him in motion.
Exactly.
And you're running him into the flat, and he's basically not a threat. That's no longer the case if you have Sanders. Yeah. I don't like it. Like, some people say, well, you know, you just like the Texas guy. I don't think Xavier Worthy is a first-round pick. I like Adonai Mitchell. I'm not, like, obsessed with Byron Murphy. Sweat, whatever. Jatavion Sanders can play football. This will be this. We will look back on this, and I will. This was the guy I will pound the table for that makes sense for the Texans. Jatavion Sanders.
I joked about Andrew Beck's kickoff return, and shout out to Brevin Jordan for his playoff moment. Love it. But if those two guys are good enough to be on your roster, the Sanders kid definitely is.
He can do a lot of things for you. Yep. Now, if you told me that I could just go find an awesome defensive lineman that's a game wrecker and that's the option, then okay, let's do that. If you have a specific name and you think he's that guy, okay, we can do that. But based on what's going to be available, et cetera. I think tight end, even if you don't like Sanders, eventually you got to get another tight end.
Or if he's gone. It's not
like
he's the only one.
There's a good chance he's gone. Yeah. He could be one of those earlier guys. But I trust me, if they get him, not only will he contribute next year and do some of the things that you want, but chances are when Dalton Schultz is gone, you're looking at a guy that is making plays in the NFL. I will pound the table for that. Very, very much so. The talent, the work ethic, the willingness to get better, I will pound the table for Jatavion Sanders.
If Cade Stover is there when you pick, do you take him?
Maybe in the third. I don't know. I don't know when Stover's going to go. I do know CJ loves him, so I'd be down. I just think they need a tight end. Now, there is another element of this. I'm going to ask you about this because this is something you can relate to. We'll talk about this in the hits. There's some controversy around a prospect. But speaking of controversy, this is what I got on the show doc yesterday from B. Scott. Brandon Scott said the following, quote, O.J. Simpson's death got me thinking about Damian Pierce. All right, you got some explaining to do next.
Get explained.
Hey, Twitter world.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Brandon Scott, I guess we can localize. This is kind of a localized type of joint. O.J. Simpson died recently, and you said that O.J. Simpson's death has you thinking about Damian Pierce.
So I left out one step in between, right? And I told y'all last week when I came in and did my weekly hit with y'all, which I do on Thursdays, a part of the show on Thursdays, in the 11 o'clock hour, so make sure y'all check that out if you don't already. But I told y'all, first thing I was doing when I left y'all, I had an errand to run, and then I was going to hop back on that OJ doc, right? I was going to hop back on that OJ doc because it was one of the best pieces of content that I can remember consuming, and I hadn't really done so since it came out, what, however many years ago, 4, 5, 6 years ago, whatever it was. So I go back and check it out, and the part that I didn't remember watching the first time was the part about his actual football career. Because all the stuff about OJ, all the stuff that we pay attention to, and my age demographic, I'm a young child when all of that happens, like everything that I know about OJ and think about him has to do with the case. Like I don't think about him as a football player at all. So since I know as much as I do about the case, I found the football part kind of interesting. I was like, I don't remember as much of this from the first time. And for a moment there's just a side mention, sort of as an aside, that O.J. Simpson didn't necessarily live up to expectations early on in his career. And if some of the old school cats who was around for it want to check me on this and say, nah, O.J. Simpson came out like a gangbuster in the very beginning as a rookie and was great, then feel free to check me on this. But the narrative in that doc, which I find credible, was that throughout his first couple of seasons, I thought about it like this, Landry. Sports radio wasn't existing at the time, okay? But what if it did? And what if you and I were doing sports radio in Buffalo in the late 60s, early 70s when O.J. Simpson was a young player? Or if O.J. Simpson was playing in Houston and we were doing radio about his career when he was a young player? We would be having similar conversations. Do the Texans need to bring in another running back? Is this guy, how much can you rely on him? All of the sort of things that we're saying about Damian Pierce, and to me, it's really a long-winded way of saying watching that made OJ a symbol of not necessarily giving up on young players. Not necessarily. Hey, 2 years after
that
OJ's
boy
career.
Good, man.
Hey, 2 years.
What is he doing?
2 years after OJ's career, we be talking about him the way we talk about Damian Pierce. Not saying Damian Pierce is going to be OJ in any form or fashion, either as a Hall of Fame running back and certainly not as a murderous, robbing scoundrel, right? I'm not saying none of that.
Oh, my gosh.
But in terms of how we evaluate and how we talk about young players, and I thought about Damian Pierce specifically, but I do think this is something that we can apply to all of the young players who we've got question marks about with this team, right? And we've got a few of them, not just Damian Pierce. We can go from Damian Pierce Jalen Petrie. There's Kenyon Green, who's got far more to prove than those guys that we're talking about. But there are young players on this team that I feel like Nico Collins fell in this into sort of this sort of umbrella last year, I think. I feel like we're way too reactionary sometimes to react one way or another to one year, whether it's great or whether it's not, right? Like with Nico Collins, how you've guarded against, hey, let's not overreact to one great year of Nico Collins. I also don't want to overreact.
He wasn't playable last year.
At times.
Like Dameon Pierce was not playable.
At times. And we understand he wasn't playable at times.
I mean, this isn't like, this Heisman Trophy winner, high draft pick is coming in,
right,
struggling to adapt to Buffalo, and Buffalo's in a tough spot.
No, which is
why he wasn't playable.
And it's not a player-to-player perfect comparison. It's like Dameon Pierce's trajectory was never O.J. Simpson's, right? Like, if you're going to compare it, O.J. Simpson's hype was coming out of college as a Heisman Trophy winner. Dameon Pierce's hype was coming after his actual rookie NFL season. So, like, the hype is just coming from different places, and the expectation and the ceiling that you think about the guy is different. You don't think Dameon Pierce is going to be O.J. Simpson again. But in terms of, hey, how do you talk about a player, or how quickly do you write off a player, or how quickly do you anoint one, right? To me, it's just a lesson in that we didn't do that back then in the O.J. Simpson days, and we do it now, and we're so reactionary. And I just thought about it, like, you know what, man? If I was doing radio in Buffalo 60, 70, however many years ago it was, I probably would have written off a future Hall of Famer. Y'all thought I was going to take a real left and make it something scandalous.
I wish you would have.
It was all
frankly, it would have been better than what you just did.
Really? I thought that was a good parallel.
Yeah, it would have been better than what you just did. Goodness gracious. Landry Locker, B. Scott, Figgy Fig with you. OJ, huh?
He's living in the moment. Does it say more about me that I'm so twisted that I'm looking at something that has nothing to do with the Texans and like having a Texans lens on it, like I'm localizing it in that way? Like, I was watching it and I'm like, man, so OJ wasn't that good after his first couple of years? I didn't know that. Why would I know something like that, right? So I'm like, hey, well, you know what? We got a running back here that we once thought highly about, and we're talking about him like the way you just said, he was unplayable. Well, now Dameon Pierce is unplayable. Like, I don't think it's got to be that drastic. We're not saying, hey.
What do you mean drastic? He wasn't playable. They didn't play him. I'm not watching him. They didn't play him. He play one snap in the playoffs?
I just think the other guy was better. All right, so.
Let's hear from Dameon Pierce, though, because he is easy to root for. And I think this mindset is difficult to dismiss. This was him with Sean and Clint Sterner. This was after the Cleveland game. And if you are rooting for Dameon Pierce and you're hoping he's going to turn it around, this is good to hear.
To be honest with you, bro, in my long time, bro, I think about stuff like this. It may not be the best year of my career, you know, stat-wise, but honestly, I think this is the best year of my career mentally. It's giving me time to look at the game from different perspectives. It's teaching me life lessons. I'm like, okay, so how do I handle adversity? Because I really never had adversity up until this point. So how do I handle adversity? And, you know, speaking on that, you know, how do I respond to adversity? You know, I still come in, like, do I come in geared down? No. Still respond the same way. Keep working, keep chipping away. And, you know, I'm surrounded by – I got a great circle surrounding me, keeping me confident. You know, coaches and players, like, everybody just keeping me calm, you know, composed and just there for me. So, just being on this team has helped in that department tremendously. And I appreciate Slow Light, man. Slow take his time with me, bro. He, like, he ain't giving up on me. And my way to, you know, pay him back for that is me, you know, just playing how I'm playing, making plays when I can, making the best of my opportunity when I'm out there. And I've gotten better gradually. It's a gradual thing, but you know, Coach DB, he was my coach last year. He kind of knows how to approach it with me. Motor, great asset in the running back room. You know, he keeps me motivated. Just at the end of the day, bro, this year too really has, you know, been my best year, I guess, as a football player. You know, in terms of developing as a football player and developing that, you know, okay,
so
this is why we're doing it. This is why we're doing
that.
You know, last year was, I wouldn't say simpler, but it was like we was in completely different scenario. You know what I'm saying? Just a lot of stuff was different than last year to this year. So, like I said, it might not be the best year, you know, stat-wise, but to me, mentally, physically, and like where I'm at as a football player, this is definitely one of my best years of recent memory.
And see, look, I've been with you the entire time on adding a running back. Like, we've been in lockstep on that. Hey, they need to add a back. They need to do something with this running back room beyond just trading for Joe Mixon. Like, they need some depth at that position. I've been with you in lockstep on that. But it's hard for me to have watched that guy make plays in the past, be a productive football player in the past.
He has the right attitude.
And then talk like that and approach it like that. It's hard for me to just write somebody off like that and say, hey, this guy is, you know, doesn't have a chance of being a productive player for you, or he's a complete zero.
No, like, he's hard to root against.
It just made me think of it. Like, we should be careful on how quickly we write off or anoint a player after one season. The same way you don't want to give Nico Collins, Devontae Smith's or whatever type of contract yet, is to me is the same type of mentality of, hey, let's not go one bad year of Damian Pierce, one bad year of Jalen Petrie and say, this guy, you know, we've automatically got to replace this dude.
Figgy, you down with this analogy? You good with it?
That was a bit. I mean, I was impressed that you put this together and localized it like that. I got to salute you. I got to salute you to that. But that was a John Lopez stretch.
For me, it was a loop de loop long way of getting to a very simple point. And I'm ultimately at my core a simple man.
So I'll say this: we started off this segment saying, "What does Damian Pierce have in common with O.J. Simpson?" I'm going to end it and say, I'll tell you what O.J. Simpson has in common with Brandon Scott. Brandon Scott killed that analogy like O.J. killed his wife and
I'm
Ron.
I'm a killer. I ain't never denied. When you dealing with B. Scott, you dealing with a straight, stone, cold killer.
Oh, my.
Just not like that.
And if he did it, we'll write that book. Coming up next.
If I did it.
Is that a glove over there?
Coming up next, he's coming back this weekend. We'll tell you who he is. And he could have some company. Plus, there's a controversy involving a local NFL prospect, and it could lead to his fall. But it shouldn't. The hits are lit next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right. The hits are lit here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're 8 days away from the draft. D'Amico Ryans. I'm not saying this is the wrong mindset to have. I'm just saying I don't think he's 100% correct on this. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about the draft process this year versus last year.
When you look at the draft and how we approach it the same. We go through, evaluate all the positions, and try to have a good feel for the guys that we would like to add to our team. Just because we've added guys at a lot of different positions, that doesn't stop us from evaluating every position and looking at every avenue to continue to upgrade our team and continue to get our team better. So for the draft process, our process will be exactly the same. Who can we add to our team that adds value to our locker room, adds value to us on the field?
All right. It's not, I mean, I like your mannerisms. I like the way that D'Amico Ryans carries himself. I don't think his emotions are going to allow him to negatively impact the way in which his message gets across to the young players. But it's absolutely a different draft process this year compared to last.
Yeah, and well, yeah, no, it is. It is, obviously, because they're picking later and they're a better team. But I don't know. Is it too, like, hard-o to be like, I just got to keep the same mentality? And is there, like, something to that? Does that work even if the situation is different?
No, I think it's the right mindset for him.
Yeah.
But it is different.
So, but what I'm saying is this could be, like, productive delusion, you know, where you're just like, hey,
yeah,
this – maybe this isn't,
it's a good way to put it,
reality, but it helps me to view it this way to produce a better reality for myself, which I can live with. I'm okay with disagreeing with things if they ultimately lead to or are part of a better process that matters more. So I can live with it.
Draft controversy. Perhaps someone falling. I've heard this before. This is deja vu. Adonai Mitchell out of Mo City Mitch, wide receiver out of the University of Texas. Before that, won two national titles with Georgia. He apparently has diabetes. Oh. And there are some NFL teams.
There's two things I got in common with him now.
That are skeptical. That
I wouldn't draft him.
To be skeptical about Adonai Mitchell. I remember once upon a time, this was a Mark Andrews thing too. He had diabetes. Remember Mike Meltzer talking about it and Seth was talking about it. This is back in the Mad Radio days. I think you can overcome it, but it is something, you know, how teams are. They look at everything. Diabetes is apparently something that they're looking at when it comes to a guy who ran a top 5 40 in the draft, highly recruited, highly sought out. Many believe he could be a first round guy.
Jay Cutler had it. And a local example would be DeAndre Carter. Now, I know you know the memories aren't necessarily great, but
he did his thing when he left.
He did his thing when he left, has built a very decent career for himself on the smaller side and a type 1 diabetic and has done just fine. You mentioned Mark Andrews. I mentioned, obviously DeAndre Carter, Jay Cutler. It is a thing that you can do. And I'm a type 1 diabetic. I know the challenges, obviously, but you can live with it if you manage it well. And there's no one that's more equipped to handle type 1 diabetes than a professional athlete. That's for sure. They ain't doing what I'm doing. I can tell you that.
Astros versus Braves last night. Hunter Brown, very encouraging what we saw from him. 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 strikeouts, 3 base on balls. Unfortunately for him, though, the Astros bats kind of disappear, gets away from him a little bit in the top of the ninth, and the Astros fall 6-2. They look to avoid the sweep momentarily. The debut of Forrest Whitley, though, we saw him give up a double, line out, walk, and then getting an out. So we saw Forrest Whitley on the mound. It's been 8 years since the Astros drafted the righty out of San Antonio, and he was looked at as one of their most heralded prospects.
So you're saying that it's been 8 years since Forrest Whitley was one of the Astros' most heralded prospects, yet it's still too early to know whether or not he's good. Because he had such little and mixed results in his first major league outing 8 years later. Hard to know yet exactly what you got in Forrest Whitley. We did talk about this yesterday, the fact that they're going to need him one way or the other. They're going to need his arm. But do we know exactly how good Forrest is going to be? We will see. 8 years. Still don't know if he's good yet.
Justin Verlander, we got some good news on Justin Verlander. Let's hear from Joe Espada, manager of the Houston Astros. Verlander, he's been working his way back. We're going to see him pretty dang soon.
It's good to get him back on, you know, get him back on the rotation, you know, what he means to his club, you know, just to get him back on track, getting some, you know, innings from him, build our rotation with, you know, with the pieces that we need to move forward. It's exciting to have him back.
Yeah, I mean, you think we didn't get to this with Spo because we had so much fun talking about the wave, but I do wonder, like, who does he displace? What happens? What happens next?
I mean, Arrighetti, right?
You would assume. You would assume.
But what if Hunter Brown had wet the bed yesterday? Then maybe we'd be having a discussion. But yeah, I would think Arrighetti.
I would think Arrighetti as well.
I mean, I'm intrigued by Arrighetti. I'd like to see what he's got again. But
and with the intrigue with Arrighetti, I'm just asking the question here. Does Hunter Brown serve you better in the bullpen? Like, to me, it's at least just a conversation.
Dang,
I mean, I don't know if he does or not. I feel like it's a conversation to be had. You don't have 5 clear guys, right? So, or on the back end, you've got, you know, I think 3 obvious ones that you could work with.
They're saying that they being Joe Espada, that Framber Valdez could be joining him on the next road trip as well. So, looks like the arms could be on the way. Help could be on the way for the Astros, which is a really, really good thing for them because it is still early. NBA play-ins last night. So the Golden State Warriors, they fall to Sacramento 118-94. Klay Thompson 0 for 10, 0 for 6 from 3, 0 points.
Washed.
10 seeds in this play-in that was supposed to be so cool. 10 seeds are 0-7 now in the play-in. So, yeah, thanks for the expansion.
So are you saying it lacks a little intrigue?
I mean, I don't know. Just,
is the suspense not there for you?
They're 0 for 7. The Lakers, LeBron James, 22-9-9 in the Lakers 110-106 win over New Orleans. This was a Zion Williamson game for the ages in more ways than one. 40 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. And then he left the game early with a hamstring injury in the final minutes. So
the Zion experience.
Zion gone.
That is the Zion experience.
We'll see if he can play for the Pelicans when they take on the Kings. That'll decide the final spot in the playoffs. Real weird moment in this. I don't know if you guys saw this. But a lot of times when you're up two and you're shooting one free throw, you miss it because the clock is going to run and they'll basically have to make a heave, like an 80, 90-foot heave with a couple of seconds left, which is, you can make a case, harder to do than making a three when you can take it out of bounds with the clock stopped.
Yeah, and you really miss it to try to create chaos, deflect it, try to allow time to really
go off. But
again,
that's if you're up two.
Yeah.
That's if you're up two versus three.
Yeah.
We understand that, right?
Yes.
That's easy, right?
Easy enough for me.
Well,
I thought it was easy.
Well, Reggie Miller, when the Lakers were up two and they had two free throws, I think Reggie Miller got his numbers mixed up because he was wondering if you should make the first and miss the second to keep it a three-point game instead of making it a four-point game. This really happened. This is Reggie Miller yesterday during the broadcast. Keep in mind, you're up two free throws. This is not up one, two free throws, and you're talking about a running clock and like an 80-foot shot. Listen to Reggie Miller here.
Things that you talk about on the bus as a player.
On the bus?
If he makes the first one, you're up three. Do you try to purposely miss the second one knowing that they don't have any timeouts?
They have no timeouts.
And they've got to go coast to coast because as soon as you miss it, time is going to start as soon as it's touched. Or do you just make them both, be up four, and game over?
That.
These are things that are discussed as teams.
What in the hell is wrong with this guy?
So he just answered this question.
That's my question to Reggie. If these are the thing, and I don't believe him for a second that they had this imaginary conversation.
No, but 2 and 3 is a discussion because if there's 1.8 seconds left, you miss it. Okay, they have to 1.8 second. They have to rebound. They have to heave it. Okay, instead of taking it out of bounds and heaving it to
sound like he wanted a dramatic ending.
Here's why 3 and 4 is not discussed.
It doesn't even need to be broken down
because by the time if you do it though, if they let's just say they had this discussion that Reggie Miller unnecessarily had on the broadcast. By the end
Coach
of it,
should be fired if they have that discussion.
By the end of it, they're going to say what Reggie said at the end, and they'll never think about it again. So I'm like, Reggie, if y'all really talked about this, you would have never mentioned it again because you answered the question.
What is he doing?
While you explained it.
He must have been smoking on some Reggie.
On some headache.
He was on some Reggie.
Yo.
Astros not in the play-in this year. They did finish 500. They were knocking on the door. Ime Udoka apparently had some options before coming to Houston, although he kind of got canceled in other areas. But Milwaukee, Phoenix, they were discussed. Ime Udoka asked if he feels like he made the right decision coming to H-Town.
A year ago this time, there were multiple openings. You were very highly thought of around the league. Reflecting back on it, how justified your mind that this was the right decision?
Well, if I went to Phoenix, Milwaukee, or Philly, we'd be in the playoffs now. So, being able to build something was more appealing than jumping into something that has a 2-year window. It became more appealing for sure.
I called the Rockets the Astros. Here's more from Ime Udoka talking about Jalen Green and the development he had at the end of this season.
Jalen's late season surge was a real story of the season. I'm curious, did you have any parting words or advice for him before you guys broke for the summer, so to speak?
Yeah, do it earlier, and we're playing right now.
There you go. Hey, he's right. He's right. If Jalen Green from the month of March is actually Jalen Green, then we're on to something here. The whole issue with him is that he normally only does that for like a month. You know, he'll have a month stretch. He's had at least a month stretch in every year that he's been in the league, but hasn't been able to really piece it together. Shout out to him for playing the whole 82 games. Nobody does that anymore. But now let's progress from that to let's play something closer to how you played in March for the entirety of the 82. Even if you only play 75 next year, play like that for closer to the 75.
He's capable.
He's capable. Sure. Yeah, put it together,
exciting.
Man.
Be exciting. Reggie Miller, I still can't believe you, sir.
Dude, and for somebody that's played all the basketball that dude has played, all the basketball that he's now commentated, like as a media person, he's been doing this for a minute now. When did he have that discussion and not end with the answer that he ended with and like feel the need to bring that up again?
Wild. Coming up next, strengths becoming weaknesses. Mo problems for the Texans. Is that the perfect problem for C.J. Stroud next?
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.